views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and my mission is to guide you towards what will help you live life vibrantly and, when necessary, learn how to take action when where you're headed is actually stealing your power. Now, in line with this, have you ever found yourself in a situation where things feel like they're just more than you can handle? I'm not really talking about a short moment in time, but really those longer term situations that tend to drag on for maybe a week, a month, a year, or even more. It's the kind of situation that feels like the rug has been pulled out from under your feet. So you don't know where things are headed. You're having trouble thinking clearly, and you're truly uncertain that you can make it through the experience. Now, interestingly, it's these situations that end up defining you as a person. How you come through it will either make you feel stronger and help you to grow, allowing you to look back with this sense of wonder and pride at what you've accomplished, or it will leave you feeling drained, angry, firmly rooted in that victim mode, and as a result, often downright miserable. You've probably met this kind of person before. You know, that one that simply can't let go of something that happened in their past. They might be the one who drinks too much at an event and then breaks into tears over this situation that happened 5 years ago. And they've done this year after year after year. Or they could be the one that's just so unhappy. They're no fun at all to be around anymore. And you slowly start to avoid them and cut them out of your life. What's interesting to me is that it's not the situation that dictates whether or not a person will make it through these situations. It's how they perceive that situation and what they focus on while things are happening that determines this. For example, I've already shared with you how when my husband and I lost our house to a flood over 20 years ago, that when it happened, we decided to focus only on the things that were working out for us, for what was good. Our kids were safe. We were safe. Our dog was safe. My parents were letting us live with them until we figured things out. We had lots of friends and family that cared about us and wanted to help us any way they could. Heck, we even had complete strangers donate things like blankets and materials that we needed for the cleanup. And in some cases, we had people reach out to us to give us cash as a way to make this difficult time a little easier. Now, even though we had a mortgage on the house that we were living in that was now flooded, we made a decision that we didn't want to live in that place anymore. That to live there now, we would be afraid every spring that this could happen again. So we went out and found a house that we now often refer to as higher ground, and we put in an offer on this house. We had to sit down and figure out a way that we could carry two mortgages if necessary, despite the fact that my husband's job, if you recall, was kind of in limbo at the time. So he didn't know. The corporation he was working for was going to be closing its doors. He had another job lined up, but he'd be taking a fairly big cut in pay. Plus, there was no guarantees with this new startup company. As well, I was on maternity leave from the woman's shelter that I was working at. And because I had decided that I didn't want to go back early from that leave, I had had to give up my position. So basically, I was unemployed. Now, we knew that by taking this step and buying this other house, that it could make our life very difficult. But rather than stress out about how it was all going to work out, we just continued to believe. We focused on what was going well. You know, we set up some safety nets. We dealt with things as they came up, and we accepted whatever came up and whatever help was offered to us by relief services. Now, our house, in the end, the one that was flooded, ended up being written off, which meant that we were paid fair market value for it and only had to carry one mortgage. So woohoo, we pulled that one off. But the new house had cost nearly double what the old one had, not because it was that much of a better house, but just what the market had done in the last 5 years since we had been living there. And we were moving to a more coveted area, a little bit closer to our closest big city. And so that meant that the mortgage payments were going to be higher. But at least now we could focus on the positive that we wouldn't have two mortgages. Then an amazing thing happened. Rather than my husband's job dissolving as we thought it was going to and were bracing for, he was given a promotion and asked to stay because the corporation decided not to close the doors. So the extra money from the promotion meant we could handle our higher payments. And it took some of the pressure off of me finding a job when really all I wanted to do was be home with our baby. In the end, everything worked out. And while it was still a stressful and difficult time in many ways, we are able to look back at it now with humor and appreciation for all that we learned. Now, I share this because when we announced that we were moving, some of our friends decided to throw a bon voyage party for us. And this was a really tight-knit kind of religious community with many generations that, you know, lived there. So not very many people moved away or moved into the community for that matter. And we had moved in 5 years, established some friendships, and now we were moving out. But even after the flood, the others weren't leaving. At the party, the bon voyage party, there was this one woman whose house had not flooded, but the waters had destroyed her landscaping, which was very important to her. And the water levels had also shown a need for the dike that they had worked into their landscape around their house to be made much higher. She was livid about this. It would be expensive. She didn't think it was fair that her needs weren't being covered by others. Now, just to be clear, she was being offered all the same help that we were getting, except her house wasn't being written off because it hadn't had any water come in it. And she didn't want it written off because she wouldn't move away anyways. She felt like she was totally being ripped off by the system. And for some weird reason, she decided that my husband and I were partly to blame for what was happening to her. Now, I really hope that since that time, she's released this anger because the flood was over 20 years ago. But I know that she held on to it for a lot longer than was healthy, because I stayed in contact with her sister for a few years. And her sister told me that she was just so bitter and that it was really hard to be around her, and the rest of the family was kind of avoiding her whenever they possibly could. In other words, her negativity was pushing her support system away from her. The other thing her sister mentioned was that this bitterness was really aging her sister. It was costing her vibrancy, because she was just so unhappy. Now, hopefully you can see from this story that it's not the situation that determines how tough any experience will be. We both were in that flood. We lost our house. We lost all our possessions in our house. She didn't. So if anything, I like to think ours was a little bit worse. But the fact that she was staying and now had all these expenses made her think hers was worse. So it's really about how you deal with it. So hopefully that clarifies things a bit. And if not, I hope you enjoyed the story at the very least. So back to the topic at hand. To me, these situations or experiences are what I like to call life-changing moments. They tend to shake us to the very core because they make us wonder about our safety. the things that we used to take for granted. Like for us, we had been told by a neighbor who had lived there forever that our place would never flood. For our place to flood, it would have to flood everything from where we lived all the way out to another place called Low Farm, way far away. And guess what? It did. So this was no longer believable for us. When these things are happening, they demand your full attention. So you might still be able to go to work, but you'll find that you're not as efficient, you don't feel as smart, you don't feel as capable, because you're always preoccupied by this thing that you're dealing with. People talk all the time about the monkey on their back, or you know, this big weight that they're feeling. That's that preoccupation that is making it very hard for you to function normally, to be as smart as you usually are, to get along with other people, and so on. When these experiences are over, you come away changed, both in how you view yourself and in how you view the world. So the kinds of incidences that I'm talking about, just to give you some examples, could be a serious accident, getting a life-threatening diagnosis, a major loss. So it could be like a house to a fire, flood, earthquake, hurricane, that kind of thing. It also could be a career where you're suddenly right-sized out of your chosen career. Or maybe your license has been revoked for some reason, or maybe you've been fired. So it can be a huge major loss for you that completely changes the way you view yourself or your security blanket in the world. It could be a death. It could be a divorce or breakup of a relationship you thought would last forever. It can also be serious challenges with your child that actually changes your relationship with them. Things will never be the same after that. And it doesn't have to be your child. It can be a significant family member. So you get to decide what to define as a life-changing moment for you. If it's not on my list, that's okay. If it shakes you to the core, if it preoccupies you, if it forces you to grow in some way and last longer than a day, it qualifies. Now, just a side note about the amount of time. On occasion, it will be of much shorter duration. Like, for example, when I worked at the bank, we were robbed at gunpoint. Now, even though the whole thing was over in 30 seconds, it completely changed the life of the person in charge of the main cash at that moment. Because there she was, locked in this little cage that's about 12 feet by 6 feet. And then it's got these glass walls going up quite high. But the guy was able to come and jump over that and stand right over her with a shotgun pointing right at her. This guy had a nylon stocking over his face and he's shouting at her to give him all the cash. I mean, talk about really scaring you right to the core. Now, I was in the lunchroom when it happened. All I could do was hear the angry voices, and it was enough to give me night terrors for the next few days. So I can't imagine what she was going through. What's common about these situations is that they force you to really take a look at what is most important to you, to focus your attention on healing, which means put yourself as a priority. That's a hard one for a lot of us to do. And in many cases, to rebuild your life in a way that can accommodate the new you who arises out of the ashes. Now, these are not life transitions that we plan. So even though like moving, getting married, having a baby can all create a lot of stress in your life, these are the kind of things that we actually plan in our life. But the ones I'm talking about here are the kind that sneak up on you when you're not looking. You don't expect them to happen. You don't expect them to be part of your life at all. So this means when these situations happen, you're much more likely to label them as bad and to try to resist them. Now, because you're human, you're going to look for a reason why it's happening. And you might decide you're being punished for something that you did, or because you're a bad person, you're unworthy. You might decide it's karma coming back to bite you in the butt. You might jump on the blame wagon and decide that someone else has caused it to happen. You might rant and rave about how totally unfair and unwarranted this situation is. When you view something as bad, unwarranted, or being done to you, it actually adds to its heaviness and makes it hard for you to see any opportunity that might be rising up for you out of the mess. So how can you look at this situation honestly? Because burying your head in the sand and pretending it isn't happening doesn't help anyone either. So how can you look at it honestly and still take full advantage of the situation? To me, it all starts with a perspective shift. Typically, I like to ask people, so what if these difficult situations are actually opportunities for you to move forward in life in huge leaps and bounds? What if they're gifts? What if they're done for you and not to you? It's like in the game of snakes and ladders. What if coming across a situation is actually like landing at the bottom of a giant ladder that will take you higher, faster than you ever dreamed possible? If you've ever played the game of snakes and ladders, then you know that when you land at the bottom of a big ladder, it's like, yes, right on. I got the biggest ladder out there. Now, if you've never played the game, just Google snakes and ladders and you'll see exactly what I mean. I know that life doesn't necessarily feel like a game, especially when problems arise. I also know that in the game of snakes and ladders, you can just as easily land on a snake as a ladder, and that will take you back towards the beginning of the game. In my little analogy here, in life, you actually get to decide whether where you just landed is a snake or a ladder. And even if you think at first that it's a snake, you can still change your focus and turn it into a ladder at any point along the way. Now, when you see it as a snake, you allow yourself to fall into the pit of despair. You whine, you wallow, you blame, you struggle. You tell anyone who will listen about how wrong and unfair this is. You feel betrayed, afraid, hurt. Quite likely, you feel embarrassed by what has happened. That's an interesting piece about situations that we label as bad. We can only really feel them when we're in them. And it's the feelings that make them real. You've likely experienced a dream before that seems so real because when you wake up, you remember how it made you feel. When you feel, things get real. So in sum, how bad your situation is will always be a matter of perspective, and that perspective is always based on how the situation makes you feel. So in this case, you may get so caught up in your pity party that you don't even realize you're actually sitting at the bottom of a ladder and not in the dreaded snake pit that you thought you were in. If you can shift your awareness enough to recognize this, you are ready to stand up and start making the climb. You are the only person who can climb for you. No one else can carry you or pull you or push you, and there is no elevator. So to be a vibrant, powerful being, you need to fully embrace your own resiliency and know that you can handle whatever life throws your way. The ladder might look too tall from where you're standing. You might feel like you don't have the strength to go up it. It might feel like the ladder is super unstable. But if you start to climb it one rung at a time, you have a really good chance of making it to the top. Because life doesn't give you things that you are not equipped to handle. If you see it as a ladder taking you towards something you really want and need in life, you will find that trust, faith, and perseverance are enough to keep you going. If you view it as punishment, proof of your unworthiness, or something more than you can endure, then each step will get harder and you will spend more time looking down in fear or looking back instead of forwards. Part of surviving any life-changing moment is acceptance. And one of the easiest ways to do this is to adopt the perspective of positivity and see what you attract to help you on your climb. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it, but you do have to accept it. So what do you do? Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? There's no answer for that question because how you survive your climb is as unique as you are. It is different for every single situation, for each individual person, and for every time it is experienced. Having said that, we can still often see our struggles in someone else's story. For example, if you've read Cheryl Strayed's book, Wild, or seen the movie, you probably found you could relate to certain parts, even though you may never have walked or even thought about walking a mile in her hiking boots. At least, maybe not until you read the book or watched the movie. And then most people feel this strong desire to go and do that because they see the value in releasing all this extra weight, all this crap that they don't need to take with them. So here's a few tips for my tuck and roll system, which is what I learned after falling off the chairlift and realizing that every difficult experience I've ever been through, the flood included, has had these things in common. The first one is to recognize that your situation is an important part of your life journey and take full responsibility for it. This is not about blaming yourself, judging yourself, or believing that it's your fate and you had no choice. This is about really tuning in to which parts were your choice. Now, unfortunately, most of us have been taught that we must take responsibility because it's a mature thing to do and therefore the right thing to do. And as a result, it gets tainted with this sense of self-blame. And that doesn't help us to heal when we're hurting. To me, taking responsibility shows you clearly where you could have made a different choice. So seeing a choice helps you recognize that there are things you could have done, which means the world is not spinning quite so wildly out of control anymore. It resets the predictability factor, which is a critical part of moving out of crisis and back into living life. For example, when my husband and I look back on the flood experience, we recognize that buying a house in the Red River Valley, which are floodplains, set us up for this experience. We chose to move there, and it ended up causing a problem. The flood that got us might have been called the flood of the century, in Manitoba anyways, because the water had never gone that high before. So it was sort of a fluke, but it doesn't matter. By accepting responsibility for the choice that we had made, we felt more in control when it came to choosing our future home. The second thing you want to do is throw away your shovels. And by this, I mean resentment, regret, bitterness, blame, hurt, anger. All these things dig you deeper into your snake pit. When you accept full responsibility for your role in things and do so from a place of neutrality, there is nothing good or bad, right or wrong, positive or negative about what has happened. It just happened. So accept that without judgment. Remember that these feelings are all connected to your human ego side, and your ego, just like your family dog, is not equipped to run the show. So tell your ego to sit. I find thanking it for wanting to protect me helps in some way. And call in your higher self to take charge. With practice, you'll start to notice how much easier it is to climb when you aren't fuming about why you're there. You really can't dig yourself out of a hole. So put down the shovels and start working on a different means of escape. The third tip, and this is in line with your shovels, really tune into the story that you're sharing with others and even the one you're repeating in your own mind. Notice the feelings that arise as you tell your story and how much self-responsibility is reflected in your story. If you can taste bitterness when you share your story or you feel waves of regret about how you wish it had turned out, you're still holding strong to judgment of the experience. Even sarcasm can be a slippery slope back into this zone, so be very careful. Also, be careful to not share your story with people who tend to be negative and judge or point out everything that they imagined you did wrong, because this can turn your ladder back into a snake and shoot you back into the pit before you even know what's happening. Number four, process your emotions as they arise. So when you feel intense anger or grief or something coming up for you, rather than ignore it, stuff it, push it aside, or take it out on somebody else, allow yourself to acknowledge what you're feeling. Don't add to the intensity of your feelings by thinking negative thoughts. Just allow yourself to feel it. I've done other podcasts on ways to get your emotions in motion. So if you think you might be stuck at this spot, you might want to look some of those up. My point is, don't ignore feelings and think that you have to just plow on through because that's what you've been taught to do. Just, you know, make it happen, get it done. Instead, allow yourself to stop, feel, heal, and then move on. Sometimes you need to call upon all of your supports, or you might need to totally drain your resources, you know, in order to make things happen. But when you can do this and continue to move forwards, now you will find that the walk is so much easier. Number five, be compassionate with yourself and give yourself time and space to complete your adventure. Recognize that progress might be slow. You won't be able to just jump out of the hole and go about your life as it was before. Real growth happens slowly, and healing works in cycles. And so this can mean that often you might feel like you're back at the starting point again and again, when in fact, you haven't fallen, you haven't messed up, you haven't done it wrong. It simply means you still have a little more to heal. So seek out the things that will help you: a course, a coach, a retreat, a book, a hike, and put them into action. These are not easy things to do, and that's really the point of this podcast. Life and the opportunities for change that it offers are not easy, which is why our ego fears them. This is a journey. Take baby steps where possible. Reach for one better feeling. Take one course. Set two goals. Give yourself a lot of pats on the back and recognize there is no right way for you to do this. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.